My name is Gary. I'm one of the pastors here. Thank you, music team, for leading us this morning. As we were singing about God's love and that God's love comes after us, chases after us, and the Lord is always seeking us. I think it was Dominic was up here wanting to get close and play. And first we had one youth, and then we had another youth. And then, of course, we had a mom come and rescue things. But isn't that just so poignant that it's exactly a picture of what God is like? Is that he comes and he, and also a picture of what community and family is like, that we are doing this life together, we support each other, and praise the Lord. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ. And this morning, I'm going to invite you to do something that we do here occasionally, and that is something we call passing the peace to each other. And so in a moment, I'm going to have you stand, and I'm going to ask you to turn to somebody and say, peace be with you. And when you say, peace be with you to someone, that person receives it and says, also with you. And then you can turn around and you can pass the peace to someone, say, peace be with you. And that person receives it and says, and also with you. In the name of Jesus, we want to pass peace, shalom, to each other here together this morning. So would you stand and pass the peace to your person sitting near you? Peace be with you and also with you. Peace be with you. Peace. Yes. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Thank you. And also with you. Amen. All right. All right. Break it up. Break it up. Settle down. Settle down. Wonderful. What a good sound that is. Well, it's the beginning of a new school year. It's the beginning of a new teaching and preaching year here at Westview. And so we're looking ahead at what the Lord has in mind for us as we begin this new year. And I've been doing quite a bit of reflecting and praying about this and trying to discern God's vision for us here at Westview, discerning the Lord's vision for me in ministry, for my family, but also for us here at Westview. And so as a result of that prayer and discernment, there's some words that I want to share with you this morning as we look ahead. And I want to invite you to turn to the book of Acts with me, Acts chapter 1. When we meet up with Jesus in Acts chapter 1, a lot has transpired. Jesus is actually meeting with a group of disciples, a group of people, on what is called the Mount Olivet, which is east of Jerusalem. This is a rendering of it. Another picture that you'll see shows an actual view of it looking south. But this is where Jesus and a group of people were gathered, and it was 40 days after his resurrection, after he was brought back to life, and he had presented himself to a variety of different people. They had seen him. They had been with him. And now he was with this group of people and sharing some important information. And one of the things that he was saying, because he knew that he was actually going to depart from them. And so one of the things he told them as an instruction was, I want you to go back to Jerusalem, and I want you to stay and wait in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father. You receive the promise of the Father. And with that, I want to invite you to turn with me to Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. The you there is tricky in English. In other languages, you can differentiate between singular and plural, but it's actually plural. He is saying, you all, y'all are going to be my witnesses. He's addressing the group. The group is going to be my witness. You all disciples, the group is going to be my witnesses. And he says, you will receive power. That Greek word for power is dunamis. It's where we get our English word dynamite from. You're going to receive power, group. You're going to receive dunamis when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses. And again, that word witness in the Greek language, there's more going on in that word than sometimes we have in our English language. Witness in this language means something you know, you experience, you see, you witness, but you also testify, you say. So witness means something you see and something you say, something you experience and something you testify to. But what's interesting is that Greek word for witness is where we get our English word martyr from. Because to be a witness is to actually give your life. It's to give your life. So the Lord says, y'all, group, are going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my martyrs. You're going to give your life to see and to say. And he says, you are going to be my witnesses, which is you're going to be a witness for Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus. Your group, you're going to be, we're going to receive the Holy Spirit individually, but as a group, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and you're going to see and say all about and testify to Jesus. And so the first word that I want to share with you this morning is the word witness. Martus, witness. Witness is, if I was putting it plainly, is to see and to say. Sometimes when I'm talking with people, I use both words, witness and testify or testimony. And that's when it is. It comes together. It is not only seeing and experiencing and knowing, but it is also demonstrating through action and words. And if you're a grammarian here this morning, I can also delve into that a little bit, because the language here is in the indicative, which means it's actual, it's real. You're going to be witnesses about Jesus, and it's not going to be contingent or conditional. You're going to be witnesses. Followers of Jesus Christ, the group, are going to be a witness to, a testimony to, a speaking who is and what Jesus is like. And I was trying to grasp this, because it means, for better or worse, what the world will determine what God is like, what Jesus is like, as they look to the group. That's what Jesus is saying here. They will look at the group of disciples. They're going to look at that group that was met there on Mount Olivet and subsequent groups, and the world is going to determine what God is like, what Jesus is like, by looking at the group. You're going to be my witness. You know, some people have something like this. Winston, if you could put this, you ever recognize that? Right? It's a. Anybody know what that is? Ichthus, yes, thank you. It's commonly referred to as a bumper sticker. But ichthus is fish. And in the disciples' era, they would sometimes put a fish symbol on their house to demonstrate that they were a follower of Jesus. Actually, the word ichthus is also, what do you call that in an acronym of sorts? Jesu Christo Theos Weos Soter, which is Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. This is one letter for each of those. So in a sense, what Jesus is saying about the group is, like, you've got a bumper sticker on your church now. You've got a bumper sticker on your group now. And, you know, if you've ever followed people that have bumper stickers like this, and sometimes you wonder, okay. Because now you're driving around with that, and I don't know. Maybe they've run out of blinker fluid. Or something like that. But actually what Jesus is saying is it's even more. It's not just that you've been labeled. He said you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. There's actually more than just you've got a label, because the world, even at that time, labeled this group of people. They called them weird. They called them Christian as a castigation. They were as an insult. Winston, put up this next picture here. Does anybody recognize what this is? What? It's a seal. Now, what happens when you use this seal and you put a piece of paper in there and you press down on that lever, what actually happens? It what? It makes a mark in the paper. What's that? It imprints it, right? The paper's actually changed. There's a mark and an impression that is made. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 1:13, he said, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. You likewise, when you heard the word of truth and the gospel of your salvation and believed in him, were marked by the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes on the group, as it did at Pentecost originally, and on us, when the Holy Spirit comes, he seals us, he marks us, and we are different. We are changed, and we are forever now connected with the body of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And now we are witnesses to Jesus. Group, church, sisters and brothers. Our very life as changed individuals carrying that seal, that you may know that you have eternal life, but that you also are a witness to the person of Jesus Christ. We have established, we believe we've discerned God's vision for us here at Westview, and it's captured in a few sentences. The first sentence is this: we envision Westview to be a diverse group of people with a deep sense of belonging, united in God's love. The next sentence says that we envision Westview to be abiding in the Holy Spirit and transformed in worship. Transformed in worship when we gather, but as we worship in our day-to-day. Still abiding in the Holy Spirit, transformed in worship. The third sentence of our vision says that we envision Westview to be intentional in our discipleship journey to become more like Jesus as a group, to become more like Jesus as a group and as individuals, our focus. And then the final sentence in our church vision statement says that we envision Westview to be living out the gospel and extending Christ's love to the world. And that's where this verse, Acts 1:8, comes in connection with our vision statement, or our vision statement comes in connection with Acts 1:8. Living out the gospel and extending Christ's love to the world. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. We are going to extend Christ's love to the world. We're going to be his witness. If we were framing this in four words, the four words would be belong, abide, become, and extend. And so for this year that we're looking at, the theme for our year this year is going to be the word witness. And we're going to unpack and explore witness and what it means to extend, to live out the gospel and extend Christ's love to the world. That's our focus for this entire year. But it brings up another important word that I want to share with you this morning, and that is the word gospel. Because that sentence says to live out the gospel and extend Christ's love to the world. That word gospel in Greek is euangelion, euangelion. It's where we get our English word evangelical from. Can you believe it? How that word has been so usurped and forklifted. It actually means good news. But when you hear the word evangelical or you hear the word evangelism, I'm not sure that good news is the first thing that comes to mind, or the word gospel. But that's what gospel means. Good news. It means good, not bad, and it means news because it's something that people haven't heard or need to be reminded of. It's what God is for, not what he's against. John 3:17 follows John 3:16. And so I believe as we consider the year theme, we also need to consider what is the gospel. And over my years as a pastor and a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, I consider myself a worshiper who preaches. I consider myself a gospeler. But over my years of being this kind of a preacher teacher, I have been all over the place, and I still discover how obscure the idea of gospel is and how mixed the message is. And so I want us to lean into and understand and come to a really wonderful appreciation for what is the gospel. And so as we look to this year, our first sermon series will be in the book of Acts. We started in the book of Acts a couple of years ago, and we got from chapter 1 to 4, so we're going to pick it up there. How did the gospel spread from Mount Olivet with a motley crew of women and men? How did it spread all over the world? And how is it still going? And how did churches get planted? How is it that we have heard and now believe? And what does that history have to do with us and Westview? Well, clearly there's a partnership between the Holy Spirit and the gathered group, the ecclesia, the church. What is that partnership like? And how does that shape and influence what we will be like? And that will be as we begin our sermon series that starts next week. And we'll have an opportunity as we go further into Acts, we will have an opportunity for you to respond to that, to make some response and some commitment to that. You know, I have, in the past, I have taken services where we have commissioned, you know, we commission teachers, we commission missionaries or pastors and so on. In the past, I've commissioned congregants. And Roger came up to me a bunch of Sundays ago, and he said, oh, you're missing one group. You should commission the congregation. I said, yes, absolutely. And so down the way here, as we get into the book of Acts, there's going to be an opportunity for us to commission y'all. Because y'all are going to be Christ's witnesses. It's beautiful. And after that, we're going to go into Advent. And during Advent, we're going to learn more about what Scripture has to say about what it means to be fruitful. We're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit. Again, what I'm just really committed to giving us a biblical understanding of life. Because when you hear the word fruitful, it can have you veering in all kinds of directions. But what does the Lord have in mind for us through the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to be fruitful? And we're going to look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit during Advent. But then in the beginning of the new calendar year, we want to lean in on this aspect of gospeling, euangelying, evangelizing. And I use the word gospeler first because even if I say the word evangelism, it seems kind of freighted these days. And you might think of someone standing on a box at the corner of like Yonge and Queen Street in Toronto and banging something and shouting. But we want to lean in on how exactly can we, practically speaking, how do we share our faith and what we believe without being overbearing? And so we're going to have a sermon series on that, but we're also going to have some workshops on that. One of my colleagues has written a book called Trauma-Informed Evangelism. I'm hoping to get him involved. I'm hoping to get Doug Pollock involved, who wrote the book Godspace, and for us to do some workshops and have some people that are experienced with it here at Westview. And we're going to explore this both in terms of sermon series, but also workshops to talk about this practically. But here's the thing that I want to really emphasize. And it's the third word. And that is friendship. I am fully convinced that any sharing of the faith or gospel or anything like that necessarily requires some kind of relationship. God sent his Son in the flesh to be present. It requires a relationship. But I am taking that word relationship and bringing it one step closer and inserting, infusing it with more meaning, and that is the word friendship. We all need friends. And yet, the statistics that I have been looking at over the last couple of months that chart friendship, the reality of friendship over the course of the last decade, and it is like a line graph that drops off the side of a cliff. People don't have friends. And so one of the most powerful things that we y'all can do is develop relationships and friendships. Now, I don't mean that you've got to disclose all your personal and all that. There is grades to friendship, but the aim is at least to develop some rapport and what I'm going to call friendship. We are social. And, you know, for many years, my ecclesiology, my understanding of church, and I kind of resisted this, you know, compared with, I knew about the corporate world, and I know church isn't that. I've been there. I know that. But also was resistant to this notion, while church is also not a community center or a social center. And I think I need to confess and repent that I have taken that too far. Because there is absolutely a necessary social need and requirement that the church fulfills. It's just that it's a particular kind of social group. It's a witness to Jesus Christ, but it's absolutely social at the same time. And if you're an introvert and you're kind of squirming, relax. Because you can be friends like one at a time. Quietly. Please. But we need friends. We need friends. People need friends. Our neighborhood needs friends. We want to be recognized as friends. And that will be the basis for the evangelism that we encounter and embrace. as we move into the resurrection season in 2025. We are going to see Jesus Christ as victor. We will see him as witness. And we will see him as healer. Because we have all experienced some forms of trauma in our lives. And an important message of followers of Jesus Christ is that the gospel has to do with peace, has to do with shalom, and has to do with the healing of relationships and people and the nations and the land. Healing. Which brings me to, I know in the online bulletin, I said I would share three words. And those are the three, but there's a bonus word. And that is prayer. I was talking to a pastoral couple yesterday. Kimberly and I were meeting with them over lunch. And he said, you know, it's been my heart's desire for many years that our church would be a church, a group of people that prayed. And I concurred with that. I think that that's been on my heart and on our pastor team heart as well, elders, that we would be a group of people that prayed. That we're praying, and whether that is audibly, quietly, as you're going about, as you're having a conversation with somebody in your home, etc. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says these words, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, and seek my face." I think we can do that. I think we can do that. I think we can do that when we come together in your neighborhoods with your neighbors and friends and your family, in your community groups. 2 Chronicles 7:14, I say write it down. Because the promise is beautiful. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Healing, amen and amen. Witness, gospel, friendship, and prayer. I'm going to ask Tyler to come up onto the platform here. Tyler's another pastor here, discipleship and care pastor. One of the things that we do during the regular course of our preaching and teaching year is something we call Q&R. Question and response. Not to be confused with Q&A. Q&A is the Canadian version. But it's an opportunity as we go through. I will pause during the preaching time. Tyler's preaching, other pastors pause, and it'll be a time for you to ask your questions. You can text or email to ask@westviewchurch.ca, and we will interact with your questions. Or you can stand where you are, and someone will bring a microphone to you, and you can stand and ask your question. Now, mostly we're saying ask a question pertaining to what you've heard. If it's about quantum mechanics, I'll ask somebody else to answer it. But it's an opportunity for you to ask your questions and interact. And so what I want you to do this morning is I want you to actually put this address, this ask@westviewchurch.ca, I want you to put that in your address book on your phone or your tablet or whatever it is, or write it down, because I also want you to practice this morning. I want you to practice by sending us your question, any question. This morning, the forum is open. And if I had the Jeopardy music, it would be a chance to go do, 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 do. And while you were formulating your question, but if you could practice this morning by sending a question, yeah, put your coffee down, get your thumbs out, and get a question over to us. And we're going to just interact with a few of them just to make sure that the systems are working.
You mean they can take their phone out in church?
I know. It's crazy, right?
First person gets a gift card, by the way.
Okay. I like it.
I got a Starbucks gift card in the back. $5 Shameless. Starbucks gift card. Shameless. First question that comes in. I'm not kidding. Come on. It's empty.
Yes. It's what we would call a sword drill in the 21st century. Phones up?
Still nothing.
I can't believe it. That no one has ventured. Oh, there's a question.
There's a question.
You're going to have to hustle over
all
there.
All right.
Yeah. Get your sneakers on. Oh, you've got your runners on.
Oh, you bet. Absolutely.
My question is, in the King James Version, it refers to Holy Ghost many times in Acts, and specific to verse 8. And I'm just wondering how you differentiate between Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit.
Great, thank you. So in the King James, it refers to the phrase Holy Ghost as opposed to Holy Spirit. Yeah, so the two Greek words are hagios, or holy, and pneuma, which English would use, sometimes pneuma would be breath or wind. And so when they're trying to capture this in English, because the Holy Spirit is a person, hagios pneuma, holy breath, holy wind. The early translators, for example, when they were translating and bringing this into English in the King James, chose the word ghost to represent that. Later translations chose the word spirit. In order to give some to personify, to bring some person to the word pneuma, spirit, because the Holy Spirit is a person. Yeah, thank you. That's good. And just as a quick aside, isn't it interesting then that in the creation account, we understand how God gave life. And then at the end of John, when Jesus is going to depart, at the end of John, we read that Jesus breathed into them. Isn't that beautiful? And when our breath is gone, we're gone, materially speaking here. Yeah, thank you. Good question.
It worked.
Okay. Well, so I think she gets the gift card,
you can find me afterwards. lots of questions here. Can we pray extra hard for the Bills to win today? No, go Seahawks. Next one, test. This
Mandy,
is good.
Mandy.
We know who you are.
You don't have to even have it. I don't even look.
Yeah. How about this one? Can you expound on vision that is in the bulletin? There were three words missing that Charity and I didn't see filled
good.
In, and
Thank
maybe
you.
That's what this person's referring to.
Yes.
But you can't leave us blank fillers hanging like that.
No, that's good.
We're going to lose our minds without filling those blanks.
That's good. So the other, thank you for that. So we talked about belong, abide, become, extend. Another way to think of this in movement terms is I believe the Lord is calling us in to Him. So in, you'll find that right after this one. Yep. Calling us in, calling us up with Him, but also to go out with Him. In, up, and out. That is the movement that we would summarize this.
That's good.
Yeah. Thank you. Good one. That's why we do Q&R, because there's things I miss.
Yep. That's all good. That's a personal one for my wife and I, but hey, I know there's others out there, so I speak on your behalf.
Thank you.
When it comes to friendship, how do you balance a circle of people who will help build up our faith while we also create connections to non-believers and those who will challenge our faith?
Oh, so good. So, yeah, and there's a balance and a tension between people that will support and build up our faith, and then there might be people also that are not followers that are more challenging or might be a follower but different views and challenge our faith. That is so good.
Wasn't me. You know who you are. but I'll take the credit. No, I won't. You know who you are. Great question.
But it is so important. And it's something, you know, Kimberly and I have talked about even with our daughters when they were in school as well. Listen, we need people that encourage us and build us up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, Paul's writing to the church in Thessalonica, and he says, encourage one another and build each other up, even as you are already doing. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it's a great one. Write it down. So we need people. We need to be people that encourage each other and build each other up, and we need people in our lives to do that. Friendships. But we also do need to develop friendships with people who do not see things the way we see things. And as we mature in our faith, we are not tossed to and fro. We're not worried. The truth isn't in jeopardy. Jesus isn't in jeopardy. The gospel is not in jeopardy. So we can do that. And so a lot of time, Jesus, following in his steps, one of the things that he was heckled about and one of the things that he was critiqued about was that he would go and spend time eating with people that weren't necessarily, they were uncouth. And so he was called a glutton. And he would go to weddings where they served wine. And he would be called a drunkard. But he made friends, like, wherever he went. And so we do need both. And listen to me especially. The algorithms of the internet life that y'all live right now are such that we have been cocooned and we have been brought into a vacuum where we are sort of circled with people who think and see things the way we do, and it's a Skippy echo chamber. Look at the disciples that Jesus put together, a motley crew of this, that, and the other thing. Praise the Lord, and just look around. This isn't necessarily an echo chamber here this morning. Praise the Lord, because I can learn from you. It's like we won't talk about football. It's like you're sitting on that side, I'm sitting on this side, and you're sitting over by that end zone, and you're sitting over by that end zone. We're all at the same football game, but you're seeing it differently, aren't you? So we actually need each other. And we need to have friends that don't see the things that we see. And we need to have people that can trust us enough to share the good news called the gospel. Yeah, it's good. We'll take one or two more. Because
Karen, how much time you Karen, got? Because it's no, they're not
we'll
stopping.
We'll take one or two more. I think Karen is wondering when to mix the salad. So
Gary will
I gave
respond.
Her a time
to...
commitment. She asked the preacher.
Yeah.
When are you going to be done?
Gary will respond to all of these later.
Tyler.
Or me. We'll rock, paper, scissors. Do you think our culture is actually as hostile to the Christian gospel as we often anticipate?
Is our culture as hostile to
the Christian gospel as we often anticipate?
Okay, interesting. Yeah, is it as hostile to the gospel as we anticipate? That's such a good, insightful question. You know, a number of years ago, Erwin McManus was in Vancouver, and he did some research for what was then Athletes in Action. Now it's called Power to Change. He subsequently wrote a book called Soul Cravings. But he went around and he talked to a bunch of people in Vancouver, and I think that the results would be similar to here in Calgary. When he asked people, you know, got their impressions about church, and he got their impressions about Jesus. Can you guess what some of the results of that were? People were kind of resistant to and maybe hostile to church, but they were intrigued and open to Jesus. So when we talk about the gospel, that's why we talk about friendship. There's a book that was written, I think, in the 70s, or the last edition was maybe 1980. I have it in my office. For some reason, it's my mother's book. Sorry, Mom, I have your book. It's called Friendship Evangelism. And I wonder if, like, we're coming, like, the old is new again. Because I think when we talk about The world is not hostile to friendship. The world is not hostile to being close and having a coffee and creating space to listen and first to understand. And I don't think the world is hostile to the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ either. Shalom and healing. That's a good one, dude.
Let's park it there because there's a lot more, but a lot of great stuff that we can continue exploring. Thanks, Gary.
Thank you. I'm going to invite the music team to come forward. Praise the Lord. So thank you for that. I hope that you've got that Ask at Westview Church in your contacts now. It's so valuable that we can interact like this. I just want to invite you to imagine. I want to invite you to imagine that we are a group, not just welcoming, but a group of friendly, friendship-building people. I mean, just imagine that. Imagine the impact that can have. Imagine the impact that can have in Ranchlands. If we build friendships, so there's a guy that walks on the sidewalk here by the church quite a bit. I've gotten to know him. His name is Mark. And I think we're developing a friendship now. Imagine what it would be like if we were all building friendships. That your calling, your purpose, that you have a strong sense of purpose, and that purpose, as simple and as honest as it sounds, is to build friendships with the hopes that it creates space to share the good news, the gospel. It's not technical, it's not abstract, it's not complicated. And in that space called friendship is where witness happens. And sisters and brothers, we have that opportunity, even starting when we finish here this morning, because we're going to go outside and have a barbecue. We're going to eat together. And maybe the first step of building friendships is to talk to somebody that you don't know. And I mean, it's going to be pretty obvious what you're doing. You'll be building a friendship. It's that simple. It starts there. Create that God space for witness to happen. And then as we do that here, we take this as we go in the weeks and months that unfold. Just imagine.